I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, August 24th, 2023, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. I'll give you some entries on today, just exactly how wild and dystopic it is. Everything is theater. And all the world is a stage, apparently. And we can't see through many clever little parlor tricks. I yesterday sounded like kind of a Sunday morning type of a thing. The reason that I think those things are important, it's interesting. You know, there are so many charlatans out there, and there's so much fodder. The cult of personality folks are notorious for not being shy, not being bashful, obviously. And so they'll put all kinds of content out, and you can pick through that, and from a Christian perspective, you can test the spirits. And nobody seems to do that. It's easier than ever, in a sense, to be able to do that. And everybody's looking for some demigod. That's true for religion, it seems. It's true in politics. We'll get into that in a minute. It's true everywhere. And in the political aspect, I just keep seeing and hearing Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10 in particular, Why the Worst Get on Top, playing over and over and over, and it's astonishing. Exhibit A might be the flash 5 minutes before last night's Republican debates, presidential debates. Obviously, Tucker Carlson's episode 19 dropped on Twitter at, 5 minutes before the debates began. And what do you know? It's Donald Trump with Tucker Carlson. And so that was interesting. It's been viewed 194 million times at this point. And Trump apologists are losing their minds. over that. And obviously, you know, and you compare that, I don't know how many views. Well, let me step back, actually. Speaking of what I was saying, Parlor Tricks X, which, you know, formerly known as Twitter, you go to twitter.com and the platform is called X, which is interesting. This X thing. I think that X is code for Antichrist. I think we can look at it that way. I've talked about that a little bit in the past. Maybe I'll talk about it more in the future, but I won't right now. So these platforms can obviously be manipulated. View counts can be manipulated in various ways, you know, with bots and all kinds of things, and manually and so forth. There are many ways to manipulate view count and do it, shall we say, in a plausibly deniable sort of fashion. Anyway, if you watch the discussion, and I did, unfortunately, listened, watched, one of the things that you will notice, you may have already noticed this, Donald Trump is not very diplomatic. He has a propensity to slander and disparage just about anybody who stands in his way, in opposition to him. So he does a couple of things. He's very defamatory, speaks in a derogatory fashion about, you know, political opponents and people that really might stand in opposition to him almost entirely. If you go through and you listen to this interview, this 45-minute interview, for example, with Tucker Carlson, you'll notice that overwhelmingly he is speaking very disparagingly about people generally, and not in a diplomatic fashion. And so for those who espouse the belief that, you know, this guy should be president, for example, or that our fans and political supporters, what does that do to those people? What kind of mind virus gets in them? And is it the kind of thing that we've talked about, you know? Is it fomenting conflict? Samuel P. Huntington, Clash of Civilizations kind of thing, leading to Fukuyama's The End of History and The Last Man kind of thing. I would suggest that it is, obviously. And there's more background, you know, back to Pike's letter to Mazzini, August 15, 1871, outlining three world wars. Third world war will be this. It'll be a clash of civilizations. So he speaks disparagingly about people, overwhelmingly, not in a diplomatic fashion. And the second thing you'll notice is that his language has become very opaque. And you have to make many assumptions. He speaks in very vague sort of terms, and there are those who will say, well, he has to because, you know, he doesn't want to, what is it, 91 indictments or something like that? He doesn't want to be brought up on more charges or something like that. Well, I think it's more than that. And I think the theater of the charges obviously speak to that. And that gets to perhaps Exhibit B. So you'll notice when he speaks, you have to make a number of assumptions. And fill in the gaps. And he speaks about, for example, two groups of people, and he'll lump groups together. You've noticed this. He'll do it in very opaque sort of terminology, you know. To give a crude example, you know, he'll say, when we, they're, you know, they're not very bright, they're not very smart, and we, you know, they have terrible policies, but the American people are great, and, you know, they support me, they're my supporters, I appreciate them, and they're really great, but when you see what they're doing, their policies are really bad, they're terrible, they're really bad, and I fix that, and, you know, it's just, it's very opaque language like that. I should probably grab an example, but I'm not going to right now. And that's interesting as well. You have to fill in some gaps, and this gets to kind of a point, a broader point that Lynn raised recently. I think it was last week on one of last week's broadcasts, that news articles can be manipulated to give whatever impression the reader is looking for, in essence. And so that's what happens with this kind of language. And that's what we're seeing with the political theater, the weaponization of the Justice Department, and so on. And that would be entry B. Let's just cue this up. This is, you know. So what that does while we're doing this, while we're getting this ready, what that does is that basically it's a choose your own adventure kind of language. That, you know, if you go back and read Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and the picture right in the beginning, Stephen Covey talks about the picture of the, you know, the picture that's a woman, depends on how you look at it. You know, you look at it this way, it's a young woman, you flip it upside down, or you look at it that way, it's an old woman. And you can introduce this picture to different audiences, and they'll see different things, and they'll start fighting before they step back and say, okay, hold on. You know, they'll start calling each other names. What are you, an idiot? You can't see that this is what this is? And you can anticipate that sort of thing with what's going on with the political theater, and also in Donald Trump's language. It's fomenting conflict. And what people don't realize, there's so many aspects to this psychological warfare. There is the thing that I've been talking about for about 10 years now, the Glasnost effect, as I would call it. And the Glasnost Wikipedia entry from the olden days, back when the section wasn't entirely removed, back in 2009, there's the section that says areas of concern, and it has this bit. While Glasnost is associated with – so Glasnost, if you're not familiar, or as just a reminder, by way of reminder, Glasnost translates to openness and transparency in English. That sounds familiar. I feel like we've heard that somewhere before. Anyway, while Glasnost is associated with freedom of speech, the main goal of this policy was to make the country's management transparent and open to debate, thus circumventing the narrow circle of apparatchiks who previously exercised complete control of the economy. Again, sounds familiar. Through reviewing the past or current mistakes being made, it was hoped that the Soviet people would back reforms such as perestroika. And again, there's a common thread there with perestroika here. Glasnost gave new freedoms to the people, such as a greater freedom of information by opening the secret parts for unallowed literature in the libraries, and a greater freedom of speech, etc., etc. There was also a greater degree of freedom within the media. In the late 1980s, the Soviet government came under increased criticism, as did Leninist ideology, which Gorbachev had attempted to preserve as a foundation of reform. And members of the Soviet population were more outspoken in their view that the Soviet government had become a failure. Are you picking up what I'm laying down here? Is there a similarity here? Glasnost did indeed provide freedom of expression far beyond what Gorbachev had intended, and changed citizens' views toward the government, and here's the punchline, which played a key role in the collapse of the Soviet Union. It has to be their idea. Psychological warfare. They were responsible. Do you guys want to, you know, should we just call it a failure? There are folks who have been trying to get rid of the Constitution for a long time. Personal freedom, you know, Bill Clinton told us back in the 90s, sometimes you got to limit that freedom when people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing with it. Who decides what they're supposed to be doing with it? That's obviously a broader conversation. Who's in charge? Who decides? But there are folks who want to, you know, it's time for the Ouroboros to eat its tail a little bit. We got to redo all of this stuff. Got to get rid of that. So what do? We got to get everybody on board. Otherwise, they'll know that it's, you know, that they're at war. We have to have them do it themselves. And that's what's happening. This is what's happening. Openness and transparency is being used to expose toxicity and to foment chaos and conflict among the general populace. And it's working very well. And another, you know, exhibit B in how wild and dystopic is this little bit. MSNBC is having a field day with what's going on the last, you know, week or however long. And this is, so this is exhibit A. Go ahead, please.
Breaking news out of Georgia, where four more of Donald Trump's co-defendants surrendered at Atlanta's Rice Street Jail within just the last few hours. So a total of six now booked. And we have mugshots of the first few to get booked. We still have 13 surrenders to go, including Trump himself, as we await his surrender tomorrow. We're going to learn here that Rudy Giuliani's traveling now to Atlanta. And we could know this afternoon whether Mark Meadows will be allowed to delay his surrender to authorities. NBC's Von Hilliard's in Atlanta. Also joining us is Cynthia Oxney, former federal prosecutor, and Dave Ehrenberg, Florida state attorney for Palm Beach County. Von, what more do we know about Giuliani now traveling to Atlanta and any other people that may surrender today?
That was MSNBC yesterday.
Right, we know that Rudy Giuliani, Anna, is actively en route from New York here to Georgia, where ultimately, to our understanding, he and his counsel will be negotiating a bond agreement with the district attorney's office before ultimately agreeing to come here to the Fulton County Jail to surrender. Our producer, Adam Reese, is just getting word that John Esposito, as a lawyer in New York, has agreed to represent Rudy Giuliani. There will also be local counsel involved here.
Can we stop
it? Rudy Giuliani, this is somebody here who is, over the last days, has been actively engaged in conversations trying to find Georgia counsel who could represent him here in the courts. He has till Friday to surrender, but we expect in the hours ahead for him to not only appear at the courthouse, but then also potentially the jail here just about 15 minutes down the road from there.
Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Speaking of crazy things, I think we played enough of that, you know. Just, I mean, oh my goodness. You know. The list of folks Donald Trump and the 18 co-defendants. It's political theater. It's crazy. Maybe we'll get into the list in a little bit. But speaking of the collapse of the Soviet Union and, you know, as a sort of entry of this day in history, because of what I just talked about at the end of the last segment, Ukraine celebrated August 24th as Independence Day in commemoration of the Declaration of Independence of 1991. And so congratulations, Ukraine. How's that working out over there? Anyway, and we could dive down this rabbit hole more. Isn't it funny that Joe Biden and everybody, you know, all of the governments, NATO, the NATO coalition and BlackRock and Vanguard and all of the, you know, military contractor type financial organizations are standing with Ukraine. I talked about how in technology it was weird that we saw stuff, you know, technology standing with, I stand with Ukraine. Why is that something that needs to be showing up in strange places? So they're all standing with Ukraine, and they will back Ukraine, and we will funnel as much money as we need to Ukraine for as long as we need to. But when Maui burns, well, you know, Joe Biden shows up a couple weeks later and gets the "Let's go, Brandon" welcome. That's essentially what he got, I think. But it's okay because Oprah says, you know what, I think, you know, it's going to cost $1.5 billion to rebuild Maui, to rebuild downtown Lahaina. That's okay. Oprah thinks she has it in the couch cushion, so they're going to be okay. Anyway, speaking of all this insanity, I wonder if we have time to play just a couple of clips. We probably do. Let me see. Yeah, we got time. We can squeeze just a little bit in. So, speaking of the things that are going on in Ukraine, can we play that first clip?
Fox News alert now. Russian state media is now claiming that Wagner Group chief Prigozhin has been killed in a plane crash in a flight from Moscow to St. Petersburg. Florida Republican Congressman Michael Waltz sits on the House Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committee. He'll join us with reaction in just a moment. But
that's
first,
enough.
Let's get to the news with Chief National
that's
Security
enough.
Correspondent General.
So, Yevgeny Prigozhin killed in a plane crash. Presumably, again, this is like Bond, you know, James Bond kind of stuff. Plane drops about 8,000 feet in 30 seconds. That's the way the story goes. Is he dead? Probably. You know, nobody knows for sure at last I heard. But this was curious. Here's what Secretary of State Antony Blinken said about Yevgeny Prigozhin last month. Go ahead, please.
We've seen the ongoing drama, too, of where is Prigozhin? What is the arrangement with Putin? We've seen their forces, the Wagner forces, move to Belarus. Very bad for Belarus, because wherever Wagner goes, exploitation, death, and destruction inevitably follow. We don't know how this will play out. You know, if I were Mr. Prigozhin, I would remain very concerned. NATO has an open-door policy. Russia has an open-windows policy. And he needs to be very focused on that.
Yeah. Ha ha. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Welcome back. So to round out the clips regarding
the alleged death of Prigozhin, Joe Biden had a comment. It's interesting also that he had a comment on Prigozhin's alleged death, but you know, in about 2 weeks quicker than his comments on Maui were forthcoming. So again, you know, it seems like we are in the cauldron, we're being boiled over, and the object is to get everyone extremely upset, if you know what I mean, to avoid colorful language. So here's what President Biden said on the death of Evgeny Prigozhin.
I was asked about this by you. I said, I'd be careful what I drink and what I wrote in. I don't know for a fact what happened, but I am not surprised.
Do you believe?
There's not much that happens when Russia and Putin are not behind, but I don't know enough to know the answer. I've been working out for the last hour and a half.
He'd been working out for the last hour and a half. Maybe he's working out that chicken that he rode into town on. And what did he say? You can't even, as usual, you can't understand most of what he says. It's just unintelligible. So, but he had a comment. So there you go. I am reminded of Eaton Cohen's tweet, whatever you call him now, back in 2016. I never expected Idiocracy to become a documentary. And, by the way, did you know that Terry Crews announced his run for president in 2024 earlier this year as Dwayne Camacho, right? President Camacho could be a real thing. You can, if you think I'm kidding, you can look it up. The Austin American Statesman covered it, for instance. And, so that brings us to last night's debates, if you could call it that. It was interesting. Vivek really kind of put himself front and center, I think. And it was pretty crazy, just like I thought it would be. As I said yesterday, before we departed yesterday's broadcast, it was ridiculous. And, you know, again, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, is front and center, front of mind. Because the debates, you know, as usually the custom, the debates are more about infighting and deflection. A lot of people are saying that Ron DeSantis basically ended his presidential bid last night with the deflection. You know, Democrats would love to blah, blah, blah. That's his canned response for everything. Democrats would love to see. And, but there was some really interesting stuff. Chris Christie stands for the Constitution. Although I do, you know, that's what he says anyway. Although I do agree with his position that the charges or the behavior is beneath the office of the president. But, you know, this is a power evolving universe, as they say. It's a Nietzschean world, and might makes right. So the guy who called Chris Christie's wife fat, and, you know, Chris Christie gave him a bro hug. Vivek kept saying that in the debates last night, you know, when Chris Christie accused Vivek essentially of being an Obama cutout, Vivek responded, well, then give me a bear hug like you gave him a bear hug. I'm looking forward to your support. So this is what we're seeing. This is what we're seeing in the dynamics of American social life in general. It's crazy. And people really need to figure out who they are and what they're all about, because it's not going to get better. This, I think, is the result of, you know, this is not a stopping point, obviously. This is a milestone. Wasn't that who wrote the book, the Fire and Fury book that was published minutes after the Maui fires? Milestone. This is not a stopping point. This is a milestone, and we didn't get here overnight. This has been generations in the making. You know, Carl Sagan's words from the demon-haunted world, "Science is a candle in the dark," always come to mind. Yeah, exactly. Milestones. So, you know, speaking of Idiocracy, Mike Judge, Ethan Coen, in Carl Sagan's The Demon-Haunted World, Science is a Candle in the Dark, back in 1996, he said the dumbing down of America, well, let me back up, I have a foreboding of an America in my children's and grandchildren's time, when the United States is a service and information economy, check, when nearly all the manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, check, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few, check, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues, check, when the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas, check, and knowledgeably question those in authority, check, when clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, and that includes Christians, which is a whole different discussion, getting back to yesterday and other days and maybe later, but check, our critical faculties in decline, check, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, check, we slide almost without noticing back into superstition and darkness. We're checking every box these days. But continuing, he wrote, the dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in the enormously influential media. The 30-second sound bites, now down to 10 seconds or less, lowest common denominator programming, and it is programming. To do what? And this lowest common denominator aspect is creating, the media has been creating that first element in Hayek's recipe for why the worst get on top. It's a recipe, and so it's how, but the chapter is titled Why the Worst Get on Top. Now, this is ingredient number one in the three ingredient recipe that Hayek outlines in chapter 10 of The Road to Serfdom, Why the Worst Get on Top. Lowest common denominator programming, credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition, but especially a kind of celebration of ignorance. And he mentions Beavis and Butthead. And as I mentioned, you know, Idiocracy is almost 20 years old now. But instead of I would like to say progressing or learning or doing better. Maybe we should say repenting and returning to common sense. We are pressing forward. And as I said, you know, we have Terry Crews finally now in 2024. You know, Terry Crews as Dwayne Camacho running for president. And it's just entertainment. So back to Carl Sagan. He wrote, "We've arranged a global civilization which most crucial elements, transportation, communications, and all other industries, agriculture, medicine, education, entertainment, protecting the environment, and even the key democratic institution of voting profoundly depend on science and technology. We have also arranged things so that almost no one understands science and technology." But really, I would say, you know, we have to revisit the discussion of pseudoscience and, you know, mysticism. We should play the – maybe we should insert the clip here of theoretical physicists, including Michio Kaku, talking about how the Kabbalah is basically, you know, the handbook for theoretical physicists and quantum physics. It's all in the Kabbalah. It's all in the Zohar. It's all in Kabbalah. It's all in the Zohar. So it's really not science and technology as much as it's something much darker and more sinister. Continuing, though, Sagan wrote, "This is a prescription for disaster. We might get away with it for a while, but sooner or later this combustible mixture of ignorance and power is going to blow up in our faces." And I think that last bit is the key. You know, we have a very combustible mixture of ignorance and power. And it's a powder keg. I think it's intentionally being packed. The charge is increasing. And we are on the brink of basically a nuclear holocaust, metaphorically speaking. And there are lots of books, you know, again, Huntington's Clash of Civilizations meets Fukuyama's The End of History and The Last Man, that kind of thing. And this is apocalyptic kind of stuff, possibly, which calls to mind the biblical aspect. You know, the day of the Lord will not come until what? The apostasia, the great falling away. What does that look like? Is that happening? Like I said to begin today's broadcast, you know, there are heretics everywhere, charlatans everywhere, and their stuff is out all over YouTube. Anyone who wants to test the spirits, so to speak, in a manner of speaking, can just dig around a little bit and, but you know, from a biblical perspective, as I was talking about yesterday, you probably need to be familiar with the authentic to at least have some kind of a chance of sniffing out the counterfeit. And deception has always been the order of the day from the beginning. Who is the deceiver? You know, the one who in Genesis chapter 3 posits the suggestion. It's always, you know, and this character could argue, I didn't do anything. I just, you know, maybe he was talking to himself. And Eve responded. So the serpent said, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" Woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." Nope. That's not what God said. And there is a reason why, you know, and then there's the bit after all of this goes down. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. There is a tension there that exists. And that's why you see, you know, we've had conversations on this broadcast. People say, how do you feel about women as preachers? It's unbiblical in simple terms. And I think I said, the way I put it in simple terms before was, when that starts to happen, it's a judgment on society. When women start to occupy positions that should be occupied by men, I think Deborah in Judges is probably my favorite example of that kind of thing. And when it goes horribly wrong, it ends up being Jezebel, Ahab's wife. And there's a reason that the devil targets women. And you can see the clear targeting of women in this society today to their own consternation. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Spiders.
fires roost beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns. An old man sits collecting stamps in a room all filled with Chinese lamps. He saves what others throw away. He says that
welcome
he'll
back.
Be rich someday. We know
I said earlier 91 indictments. I meant 91 counts in four different cases. But I mean, that's just sensational. You know, that's just ridiculous. And then all of the other folks wrapped up in the web of legal challenges, as Axios puts it. Crazy stuff. And, you know, I mean, come on. This isn't theater designed to upset the American people in precisely the sort of glasnost fashion that I described earlier in this hour, while the Biden crime syndicate rolls on. And, you know, I think it's all theater. I think it's all WWF stuff or WWE. Now, maybe it's grown out of the old fake theater. Maybe it's graduated into Donald Trump's WWE performance. But that's what it is. I mean, I thought, you know, I sort of had this idea this morning that we could play, you know, here's an excerpt from last night's debates, and we could throw in an excerpt from Jerry Springer. And it would be funny, but maybe not so funny, if you know what I mean. That is what it kind of sounded like at moments, especially when Chris Christie was getting booed by the audience and Bret Baier had to turn around and scold them like little children. I know we've had tumultuous times in our history in America. And just because we disagree doesn't mean that's a bad thing. But this goes beyond that. I think it's pretty self-evident. You know, along the lines of what I described from Carl Sagan's book, The Demon-Haunted World, Science is a Candle in the Dark, published back in 1996. Are we really better now? And this gets back to the point of yesterday's broadcast too. Jesus saying, see to it that you be not deceived. Can we self-diagnose that effectively? Because if you ask people today, are we smarter? Ask anybody, any cross-section in America. Most people will say we're smarter today than we were in Carl Sagan's day. But I think evidence would prove otherwise. And we know, I mean, if you listen to this network, you know we've been dumbed down over a period of several generations now in America, over the last 100 years or so. So what does that portend for all of us and posterity? Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.